Well, good morning. Bless you, beautiful hearts. Today is Saturday, April the 11th, 2020. And this morning, we're going to go through our communion service. Tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday, and we're recording the communion memorial in our home, and we'll post the audio on the website and send out as the weekly link. As we said, all you need is bread, wine, and the link to Communion 2020. We have our bread and cup all set before us because we will partake of them as we move through the teaching. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 26. Now, working from Matthew 26, at some point during Jesus' last meal with his disciples, he instituted the bread and the cup as a memorial of the new covenant to come. His disciples were seated around the table for this meal. They had walked with him on journeys. They personally saw the signs and wonders, and even performed signs and wonders themselves. It's no surprise that Jesus would introduce this memorial with these disciples and place its continuance in their trust. While most are familiar with the bread and the cup elements, perhaps not everyone knows their purpose. Observing communion in remembrance of him is a blessed occasion when we understand its significance. Let's start in verse 26 of Matthew 26 to frame the significance of what Jesus did during his last meal with his disciples. Verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" This is my body is a figure of speech called a metaphor. A figure of speech consists of words out of the ordinary sense to express a truth by comparing a literal word to a figurative word. Figures of speech grab our attention and they emphasize, give us freshness of expression and clarity. So as we're working the word and we're going through the word and you're doing your studies, remember that there are figures of speech and they are legal departures from the normal use of speech words. The figure of speech simile is where one thing is similar to another thing in one particular way. Like when they say, "He is bold as a lion." Whereas a metaphor is where one thing is another. Like, "He is a lion." The figure of speech simile, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and identified it as his body. "This bread is my body." Do you see that? But a representation of his body. That representation gets our brain moving. It gets our attention. Jesus often figuratively compared himself to bread, like in John chapter 6, if you'll turn there. And in verse 33, Jesus said, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." In verse 51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Verse 53. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." Well, let's think about eating bread. This This figure of speech definitely draws our attention, and this representation makes us curious. Well, what exactly does it mean? Well, let's think about eating bread. When you eat bread, you break a piece off, you put it in your mouth, and you chew it up. And then you swallow it. Even before the bite of the bread lands in your mouth, your digestive process is already gone to work. Ultimately, the nourishment of that piece of bread is going to be extracted and imparting life and vitality to your physical body. No scientist, once that bread is digested, there's not a scientist or a surgeon who could ever find or recover that piece of bread. I mean, if they cut you open, no scientist or a surgeon could say, there it is, there's that piece of bread right over there. No, it gets absorbed into your body and literally becomes a very part of you. In Ezekiel chapter 3, let's turn to there, turn to Ezekiel 3 to see this great truth applied in the Word of God, because many times the Word uses this to imply gaining spiritual knowledge and getting understanding. Let's go to Ezekiel 3, and in verse 1 it says, Son of man, eat this roll or scroll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. The scribes wrote the scriptures on long scrolls, which were rolled up when not in use. Then verse 2 says, So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. Verse 3, And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You know, he wasn't literally taking the scroll and ramming it down his throat. See, this is all figurative. It's certainly not literal. God wanted his word, which was revealed within the scroll, to become a very part of Ezekiel. Figuratively, we eat the word of God and works the spiritual, and God works spiritual digestion for our nurturing and vitality. Jesus said to the devil, remember in Matthew 4:4 and the temptations of the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's how we gain strength. That's how we develop ourselves spiritually. In addition to bread for our physical bodies, which we need this bread from God. Clearly, God desires for his word to become a very part of each of us. So it is with eating and digesting the word. These terms are used today in assimilating knowledge. Figures of speech draw our attention and give clarity. When we refer to an idea we may be considering, we say we're chewing on it. Understanding a written work may be referred to as digesting it. Perhaps when enjoying a novel, one might say, I savored every word of it. Or at least it is regarded as food for thought. Jesus said, This bread is my body. You are to eat, and your body will digest it. Fill your bowels with it and with all that it represents. You can expect the bread from heaven will nourish and strengthen and give you life. Well, we're going to partake of our bread right now. Jesus said, he picked up the bread, and when he had blessed it and he had given thanks, he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And I'm breaking off a little piece of bread, and you could do that in your home. And then eat it. Jesus said, "This bread is my body. You are to eat, and your body will digest it. Fill your bowels with all that it represents." You don't have to eat the whole piece of bread, but fill your bowels with the knowledge of it. Let it sink down to the very, very depth of your heart and your life. And you can expect that this bread from heaven will nourish, strengthen, and give you life. And when we do this with knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, that life is eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll turn there, verses 23 and verses 24, we'll read. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" The other part of the communion is the cup. Go back to Matthew chapter 26. And in verse 27, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye, all of it. Each of you drink of it." We'll do that in a moment. The cup biblically represents judgment. Now, there's two things about the cup that you want to get in your mind. Number one, whose cup is it and what's inside of it? That will determine where you're getting it from and who's endorsing it and who's supporting it. And then what's in it will tell you what the judgment is. And like I shared last week, the cup represents judgment. You may think, oh no, judgment. But as I covered in a recent teaching, a judgment can be good and a judgment can be bad. This is a good judgment. This is one that can be in your favor. It depends on what's in the cup. That's the deal. Verse 39 says that following the meal, Jesus went to the garden of Gethsemane and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Then if you go to Psalm 116, talking about the coming Messiah, the expected one, this is what it refers to. Psalm 116, verse 13 says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." In Psalm 25, go there, verse 5, David said, "My cup runneth over." Do you think that's a favorable thing? Then in Revelation chapter 14, it talks about the cup again, but this time it talks about the cup of his indignation. So to understand Revelation 14, verse 10, you have to be anchored in the clear verses regarding God and who God is and what the scriptures say God is. And it's very clear. The scriptures say God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The cup of his indignation is a punishment inflicted by the magistrates. God is not going to torment anyone. Evil torments itself, even all the way to destruction. So it says the indignation of the wrath of the Lord, but it's talking about in the Bible, how many gods are there? Two. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the God of this world, which is Satan, the devil. That's right. The fallen Lucifer. Well, it's his cup of indignation. Concerning and observing the communion, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, talks about another cup. And he says it's the cup of the Lord, and it's the cup of blessings. So what's in the cup?
Blessings,
sure. So what's the judgment then?
Good.
It's judgment to blessings. Yes, it's judgment in our favor. And this cup that Jesus told them to drink, all of it, that's the cup he's talking about. And in it is the cup of blessings. Well, the wine represents the blessings. The bread we just ate is digested within our bodies. It represents our sharing fully in Christ's victory. And now comes the cup. It is in remembrance of the blood he shed for all of mankind. Figuratively, drink means to receive into your soul that which refreshes, strengthens, and nourishes your heart unto life eternal. Drink it up so that when the new birth is available, you will be prepared to receive it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Didn't Jesus tell his apostles at his ascension, "Go ye to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father"? Then in Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, it says, "For he took the cup and said, for this is my blood in a new testament, a new covenant, which is shed for many for your remission of sins." Being born again, your past sins have been forgiven you. Will you leave the table today relieved of the burden of your past sins? When you partake of the cup in the communion, this represents the blood of Christ, which was shed for our remission of sins. And he took the cup and he said, "Drink ye all of it." Blood is indicative of atonement and redemption. The cup is the Lord's, and the communion is to share fully. We share fully in our Lord's atonement and redemption through his precious blood by partaking of the wine. We have remission of our sins. The devil has a reservation, but we have remission. We've been forgiven of our sins. So if you've been troubled by past sins, today, when you drink the cup and you partake of the cup in the communion service, share fully in Christ's redemption, that he redeemed us from our past sins. What a blessedness to call to our remembrance all that we have in Christ in our communion with him. In the communion, we are to take, eat regarding the bread, and drink all of it in reference to the cup of blessings of our remission of sins. We are not partaking of the physical body or actual blood of Jesus Christ. That would be a little weird. But we are digesting and being refreshed by what they represent: eternal life and fellowship with the Father. We are to taste the victory and savor the moment. Take a moment just in your mind to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll partake of the cup. It says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Keep the memorial that he took our sins from us or upon himself. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Well, Jesus broke the bread and gave to his disciples and shared his cup with them. They all partook of the very same ingredients. In communion, we eat the bread and drink of the Lord's cup of blessings. We digest the fulfillment of his life and the effects of his redeeming blood. Yet the Apostle Paul had to reprove the Corinthian church and the believers there because they abused the bread and the cup. Many were turning every get-together into a celebration, eating like it was a feast and drinking until they were drunk. There were divisions among them, and they did not walk in the love of God. Perceiving spiritual truths can be limited to mankind's earthly reasoning. Understandable how one could take something godly and wrongly apply it within the traditions familiar to them. As part of their former pagan worship, the Corinthians were accustomed to drunken feasts as a big part of their former traditions. The Corinthians were treating the communion as if it were just another meal where the bread and wine were being served, much like a victory celebration in our society today. You know, you win the Super Bowl. What happens after the Super Bowl when they show you down in the locker room? They're all popping the top of champagne, same thing with the World Series, and guzzling it down. It doesn't say chug the cup. They were to partake of it. They devoured the bread and chugged the cup, certainly not to the level of irreverence, but I've heard beloved ones say, "We take communion every time we eat." I understand their hearts, but we can't be so cavalier in discerning the Lord's body. And the cup, it is supremely special and should be respectfully held in our hearts as such. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, issues Paul's reproof. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Unworthily means unfit for a thing, to be irreverent. It was irreverent and unfit behavior to abuse this remembrance through excessive eating and drinking. Then in verse 29 it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The word body means the physical body as a whole, as the instrument of life. Jesus Christ was the instrument of life in his living, in his dying, and in his resurrection. Verse 30 tells us, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." This is why our heart's preparation is so important, to get ourselves mentally prepared to lay hold on the truth that Jesus Christ is the instrument of life. We desire to partake of the bread and of the cup of the Lord with understanding. We do have a victory worthy of celebrating, but celebration and the celebrating should be tempered by the cost of the victory. It cost God his only begotten Son for that, to take our sins upon him and to take all of our wrongs and so forth upon him. That is sobering. That takes sobering, thoughtful consideration. But our communion doesn't have to be some gloomy thing, because we're not to recall all of our sins while we're doing it. We're just to be thankful and in keeping remembrance of what he did and accomplished for us. We thankfully and joyously remember Jesus Christ's victory as well as the price he paid. We partake of the communion bread and cup with thankfulness, but measured with dignity. We want to digest the sweet words prophesied by Isaiah regarding the afflictions of humankind. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, it gives us this great verses that teach us some tremendous truths. In verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne," or lifted, "our griefs, The word grief is the word for sickness or disease, and carried our sorrows means to receive the penalty which another deserves, both mentally and physically, the mental and physical pain and anguish you would go to. You know, Jesus Christ didn't deserve our sins and our sicknesses. We deserve them. But he did it for us. And he took our sorrows. He received the penalty that we deserved. We deserved the sentence of death. He didn't. But he gave us life so that we might live and took upon him our sentence of death. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The children of Israel who were there, you know, they considered that that happened to Christ because he had offended God one way or another. But that's not it. But he was wounded. The word wounded means defiled. A wound is an outward thing where you bleed outwardly. For our transgressions, for the rebellion of humankind, he was bruised, or the word bruised means beaten to pieces, and that's where you have inward bleeding. You know, where you bleed under your skin, and it gets black and blue and makes that ugly look. For our iniquities, our perversities, our depravities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, or welts, where you get black and blue, we are healed. The word healed means to be restored to favor. Having partaken of the bread and cup this morning, enter all the way into Jesus' accomplishments according to the scriptures. Fully digest the bread, which is the spiritual meat of his life, and drink of the Lord's cup of victory. Having prepared to enter into victory, digest with full understanding in remembrance of him. Taste the victory. Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to take up our lives for him. Savor the moment in the bread and the cup of the communion of Christ. The bread represents our healing, him taking our sicknesses and our sinfulness internally upon him. And his blood takes the actual acts we committed that were sinful in the communion of Christ. Lord, thank you for the words of life we have partaken of. May our hearts remind us of what we have in Christ to withstand all the attacks of our enemy, that we may walk in the newness of life that you have secured for us through the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, that we have eternal life in your glorious kingdom, to walk freely in your kingdom and to live a life in this life which is more than abundant. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ.
Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday with your family. Bless you with the wonderful communion. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.